Today, we wrap up our two-part decode of the conspiracy classic film Under the Silver Lake. In part two, we pick up where we left off with part one, with Sam going to the songwriter's house. We're going to discuss Hollywood and the music industry's culture creation, Freemasonic chess, griffins as guardians of the divine Osiris resurrection rituals, Gnosticism, and the meaning of the ending of this film. And in the post-show conclusion, I'm going to go deep into the meaning of the subconscious symbolism presented, Epstein's dentistry being part of turning teeth, as well as a lyrical decode of the song with back masking, Sam's hero's journey, the Egyptian Book of the Dead opening of the mouth ascension ritual, Sirius, the dog star ciphers, cryptology, and even Ashton Kutcher's gets some shot fired his way here on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Now, as usual, watch this on YouTube. At Occult Symbolism, link's always in the show notes, all right? I as you probably witnessed, I was unable to get the clips from part one intact on the YouTube version, okay? So if you want the one with the clips intact and fair use, of course, you got to do tier two on Patreon or VIP section. My apologies, that's just how it goes. Yeah, and I tried a bunch of stuff. I had this cool little graphic of an old CRT tube TV, and I minimized the image clip so that it fit into the TV, and then I put it in black and white, and I skewed it, and I changed the audio. Nothing works. I don't know what it is. YouTube hates me. They hate me. I'll watch these movie breakdowns, and people play half the dang movie on their YouTube. Me? No. Same reason that, like, they reinstated a whole bunch of channels last year. Remember that? Did any of my Torch channels get reinstated? No, not at all. That's why I need you to help me get back up there, okay? Go subscribe to the show. Yeah, you know the drill. The link's in the bio. I have a link tree at allmylinks.com/IsaacW, two A's for double awesome, okay? Now, before we get into part two, I found something very odd here. When I was making part one, when I was making the video version of part one, I should say, you know, I take images of what I'm talking about and I put them on the screen to better convey the point. Well, when I dragged the image of REM's Monster album, which I bought in the 90s when it came out, the one that has What's the Frequency, Kenneth, if you recall, the album cover is solid orange with a circle in the middle with a tiger head inside of it, which is exactly what the images are that flash at the beginning of Under the Silver Lake. I briefly mentioned it at the beginning of part one. Furthermore, when I found the CD single artwork, because back in the day, they used to, like, sell singles for us broke people. You know, you'd spend $3 for a single of a CD. the artwork for the CD single of What's the Frequency, Kenneth, shows more codes. It shows you Morse code, just like the coffee shop at the beginning of Under the Silver Lake. And I thought, well, what's the Morse code? Well, it just means Kenneth, right? So nothing too exciting there. But I thought that was very interesting. The director must have been clearly influenced and interested in REM. Now, you already know where we left off with part one. Again, link in the show notes. If you didn't listen to part one, what are you doing? Go back to part one, all right? And then come back. We left off. Sam was actually going to track down this enigma called the songwriter. Remember, he assaulted Jesus on the toilet? Could be a literal sort of play on that, too, by the way, you know. Anyway. So Sam, he has the escorts basically take him to the songwriter's house. And he crashes the gate, walks up to the mansion, breaks in. And the songwriter invites him to come sit down while he's playing the piano. And his room is this massive room full of musical history, which my person on Patreon in the chat that mentioned something interesting about in part one, we talked about some of the theories presented. She said that there's also a symbol for the Wuhan drum set in Under the Silver Lake. I don't know where she saw it, but that's what she found. I imagine it's in this room. I'll rewatch it. If I can find it, I'll put it on the video version right here. So, like, for instance, Kurt Cobain's Fender guitar, right? So this guy's clearly plugged in. He's, you know, got all the accoutrement of a award-winning musician in Hollywood there, okay? Now, curious choice here, considering Kurt Cobain is, again, another big old conspiracy that, in fact, resurfaced in the news recently. Did he do himself in, or did someone else do him in? You know, Courtney Love, very connected into these intelligence agencies, lots of strange activities going on. And you'll also notice in the songwriter's room, there's a stuffed coyote. We talked about the coyote. The homeless king was going on and on about worshiping the coyotes and stuff. Now, I'm going to play the clip, if you're able to hear it. The songwriter, he talks about how he's written all the songs. He created all the lyrics, all the hidden messages in TV shows, songs, and everything you think you love came from this one guy.
Come inside.
You wrote the song Turning Teeth for Jesus and the Brides of Dracula, and the codes and the music. I found the tunnels and the bomb shelter.
Okay.
So what does it all mean?
Come and sit down. Yeah.
That Kurt Cobain's Fender Mustang guitar?
Oh, I don't know. Probably. I don't remember. I have so many things.
Can I pick it up?
I don't always worry what the message is. I just pass it along. I slip it between the notes, hide it away from people that know it's there.
You're saying you've done this before? Codes?
I wrote the music your dad grew up to. Half of what you sang along to as a kid, and I'm still doing it. And these teenagers are dancing to my music. I want it that way. Tell me why.
You're telling me there's hidden messages in old pop songs?
Movies, television shows. Everything you know.
Why?
That's pop culture, isn't it? Floats away like tissue paper. Yeah, I blow my nose. I find a used Kleenex, I recycle it, and there is your wedding song. Here it comes. I want to know what love is. And I want you to show me.
What are the tunnels for? Is there going to be a war?
Oh, hell, I don't know. I'm just trying to make a living, earn a few dollars.
Well, you have everything.
No.
You know this girl?
Well. Isn't she pretty? Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
She was killed.
Oh, won't you be mine?
Well, along with Jefferson Sevens, but I think you already knew that.
No, I did not. I don't care what's fashionable or cool. It's all silly and it's all meaningless. I created so many of the things that you care about. The songs that give your life purpose and joy. When you were 15 and rebelling, you were rebelling to my music. Uh-oh. That's one you know. That song was not written on distorted guitar. No. I wrote it here. On piano, somewhere between a blowjob and an omelet. There is no rebellion. There's only me earning a paycheck.
I don't believe you.
Well, good, because the real message was not meant for you. So it's better if you just smile and you dance and you enjoy the melody. Because this ugly old man, me, I am the voice of your generation. your grandparents, your parents, and all the young people that follow you. I love rock and roll. Drop another dime in the jukebox, baby. Oh, look at you. Everything that you hoped for, that you dreamed about being a part of, is a fabrication. Your art, your writing, your culture is the shell of other men's ambitions, ambitions beyond what you will ever understand.
That's funny to you.
Well, it's a little bit funny, don't you think? Because I wrote this. And I wrote this. And I wrote this.
Stop it.
And I wrote this too.
Stop it. Who's paying you to write these songs? Who's paying you to write these songs?
Now, Sam asks him, he says, why did the hidden lyrics for the Jesus song, Turning Teeth, why did they take me to a bomb shelter in tunnels? And I suspect this is very similar. I mean, they were saying it the whole movie, right? Sam keeps saying that, I know that these songs have messages. Don't you think there's a hidden message that's only for the elite in here? Basically is what he says. And remember when him and Sarah saw the fireworks and it was like a trigger for Sarah to leave, and then she leaves? It's like a bat signal, right? And the songwriter is like, look, I don't even know, man. I someone gives me the message and I pass it along. So he's not even part of this, right? This is just like David Icke's theory of the pyramid and the bank teller, where it's like the bank teller doesn't know what the manager knows, who doesn't know what the branch owner knows, the branch manager owns, and you get what I'm saying. All the way to the top, right? Like, nobody knows exactly what's going on as the big picture except for the person at the top. And the songwriter also not at the top. He doesn't even know what the tunnels are for. He's just trying to make a living, which is what everybody, says. So Sam asked him about Sarah. Why was she killed with Jefferson Sevens? And he says, look, there's no such thing. And we're going to talk about that later. The songwriter says, look, there is no such thing as rebellion. You know, everything is manufactured. All the songs come from him, and he gets the message from someone else. He's like, look, I've been the voice of every generation, including Nirvana, which, really messes Sam up because he loves Nirvana. He says, there's no rebellion. It's just me making a check. And the real message is not meant for you. Heck, it's not even meant for him, apparently, right? And this is very accurate to how the whole thing works. It's the Hegelian dialect that David Icke and every Red Pill Daddy has told me in the past. You know, it's like Thomas Massie, right? We look at him and we say, oh my God, this guy's, he's exposing the files. He's defying Trump and the administration, who's trying to suppress these files. Well, he's probably in on it too, because it turns out he's in the Order of De Molay, allegedly, maybe, supposedly. The Freemasonic organization that Walt Disney was a part of. It's probably all ritual play theater, all of this. I believe that all these parties are involved with the stuff that Epstein's doing. I mean, that's a whole topic for another show. But I think they're all involved. I think all of that's happening. I think there's a bit of revelation of the method. There's a bit of cartelian method here. However, another element could be that they're distracting us for something else. They're distracting us for the ushering in of AI to replace us, to get us into the digital matrix. They need to have AI come and fire all of us and take our jobs so that we're poor and we're like living in a dust bowl. And then they can say, you know what? You could just get in this old digital matrix. Let's put that chip in your brain and things could be great again for you. You know, this is an elite strategy of psychopaths taking over our world. Now, the songwriter saying, like, look, everything comes from me anyway. Surprise, surprise. This is like, if you've ever heard of The Wrecking Crew, it's a band from the 60s. They were a house band that recorded every album you've ever heard. Like the Beach Boys and the Monkees. They were master musicians. And what the reason they would do this is because they could, with their instruments, like nail the takes immediately, quickly. You know, like the Beach Boys, right? They write a song and the Wrecking Crew would record all the instruments and then Mike Love or whoever the singer was for that song would go in and just do the vocals. And then, then the Beach Boys would, you know, they would learn the tune and then do it with their instruments on concerts and things, right? So kind of illusory, kind of not. But the point was you could reduce studio time if you just had this great band do everything, but that takes away the spirit of the whole thing, right? You know, it's all an illusion, all of it. So, the songwriter is basically part of that. And then recall also the email from Jess Staley to Epstein saying like the reason America and Americans are so like lazy and stupid and they don't actually like burn this thing down is because Jay-Z has us chasing cars and women, right? Meaning the lyrics of the music sets a tone for the distraction. And furthermore, we find out Sam wants, Sam realizes the music, because the songwriter says, look, it's based on the ambitions of other men and you'll never get it. You're just a peon. And Sam really doesn't like any of this. He's basically destroying the dreams. Remember, throughout the whole movie, Sam's addicted to pop culture and has the Kurt Cobain poster and all this culture that he based his whole life on, which I get that. That's a brutal awakening, right? And Sam wants to know, he's like, well, who's paying you to write the songs? Songwriter is like, okay, that's enough. No more information out of me. Pulls out the piece, starts firing off, runs out of ammo. Sam grabs the Kurt Cobain guitar and proceeds to bash in the songwriter's head with it. All the way in. Very gory. All right. And the guitar shatters. And I thought, this is interesting. This is just like the programming of rock stars at the end of the concert show when they smash the guitar. It's like Sam's programmed with this as well. Again, it's all part of this false rebellion that he's been manipulated into, right? So Sam goes back to his apartment. I mean, has this guy not been evicted yet? How many days has it been? And he's got the pistole that he stole from the songwriter's place. And guess who shows up? It's the creepy owl succubus woman, right? And as he's hiding from her, next thing you know, the police show up to finally evict him. So kind of saved by the bell, he convinces them to stay one more night. Goes outside, he sees a coyote, follows it around to a house party, just like the homeless king told him, like, follow the coyote. And he sees the Seven's daughter and some others. He sees another woman, he goes and talks to her. It's the woman from the billboard we keep seeing throughout the show, the contact lenses billboard. And he kept looking at her earlier, and she's like, hey, here's my fiance. It turns out this is his ex-girlfriend, okay? So then he goes up to the Seven's daughter. They're looking at a painting by Janet Gaynor, right? And he's intrigued because mom kept talking about Seventh Heaven and Janet Gaynor. He says, hey, my friend Sarah was in the car with your dad. And they're trying to figure out what happened here, right? And he tells her some of his findings. We don't really hear which ones. Did he tell her, hey, I bashed in the songwriter's head with a guitar? Probably not. They start walking around in the dark and they get a little spooked. There's a memorial, a wall of lost dog stuff. You can see an owl in there, by the way. More owls, right? They planted a lot of owls, a lot of Twin Peaks stuff in there. And she comments about how dangerous it is to walk around this late at night. And Sam says, yeah, maybe we should have a dog. And she's like, well, anyone who would kill a dog wouldn't even think twice about killing a person. Or vice versa, sorry. Anyone who would kill a person wouldn't have a problem killing a dog, right? Then they, and this is, I start thinking about the human hunting stuff, right? So they start, which we saw in the Epstein files as well. They start holding hands. I don't know, dude's got game, I guess. Immediately they're holding hands. A homeless guy starts harassing him for money, and they get away from him, and he tells her how much he hates homeless, and he's like, yeah, they're just jealous of society, and it sounds like really unhinged. And you're like, whoa, easy there, Patrick Bateman, you know? So she asks if he's ever been in this reservoir, so they jump in and skinny dip. Kind of gross, right? You don't want that bacteria going up your wiener hole, but anyway, they get in. She gets in close to make it look like they're about to like get it on, right? And she reveals, she like whispers to him, she's like, someone's following us. And she slides a bracelet onto his hand that she found from her dad. It's a clue. And it has a chess move on it. And sure enough, right on cue, someone starts blasting at him. And they catch her with one, and now she's gone. And this is important because in this scene, you notice that when she passes, it's in the same likeness as the Sam's Playboy, right? Remember the Sam Playboy we talked about in part one, July 1970, Carol Willis, who died young as well. So it's like all this pop culture stuff is manifesting and playing out in real life, sort of magically manifesting. So he runs home naked. Next day he wakes up. He's looking at this bracelet with the chess move, H6 to G4 on the bracelet. Pulls out the chessboard, maps out the move. There's also another code of MPM 135 to 37. And he's like trying to figure out what that means, right? Well, NPM, what does that mean? Right. And of course, we talked about the Freemasonic chessboard in part one. And obviously, we're seeing that again in here, part two. We see the chessboard, right? So note that dead bodies have been piling up all around this guy, and he never calls the cops, not one time. Kind of strange. This lends itself to a theory that he's lost his mind, and this is just all, you know, it's like American Psycho, right? It's kind of like that. Turns out NPM refers to Nintendo Power Magazine. Now, for my young folks out there who don't know, back in the day, before we had the internet, used to go to Nintendo Power to get codes of how to beat games, and they'd have these cool maps and stuff. Man, I loved it when I was a kid. Which he just so happens to have this issue in reference. So he opens it up to page 35. It's a map of Zelda. And then he overlays a chessboard grid, very complex, circles H6 to G4, all right? Well, Zelda, very apropos, because in the video games of Zelda, Link, the hero, goes through all these caves and such, right? Solving these mysteries. Also, Twin Peaks has adjacencies to one of the Zelda games. I don't play Zelda, but one of the games is sort of influenced by Twin Peaks, apparently. So he goes over to the cereal box that the zine author had, the Space Stones, that he got earlier. And inside is a secret map that's translucent. So he lays this over top of the Zelda map. And now he sees the Silver Lake Reservoir going to Mount Hollywood is the H6 to G4. Very complicated riddle. Pulls it up on the Google GPS map. And the area that he's supposed to go to is blocked out. So he's like, oh, snap. It's a mystery. It's a secret. So he runs up to he goes physically to this area on the map, takes his hobo guide with him, which has the warning. It says, this place is not safe. But of course, you know, why would Sam care at this point? He jumps the barrier and we see him running or walking up to like a tiki hut of sorts in the middle of like nowhere. And you'll notice when he gets in there, by the door, there's a statue of a griffin, right? A griffin being the body of a lion, the head and wings of an eagle. And it combines opposing polarities, okay? The earth is expressed through the lion, the king of the beast, with the heavens or the skies being the king of the birds, the eagle. So it's like as above, so below type stuff. Opposing polarities of air, earth. Now, and griffins were shown to guard the treasures, to guard the divine, the access to the gods. Very important here. And if you go to Wiki, they'll tell you that according to Stephen Fryer's New Dictionary of Heraldry, a griffin's claw was believed to have medicinal properties, and one of its feathers could restore sight to the blind, right? Remember the whole thing with Sam running around with the blindfold and he had to take his, you know, it's the initiate In the Entered Apprentice degree of Freemasonry, he is blinded by ignorance, and then he removes it. He's now awake and aware of the Gnostic Sophia, the wisdom. Another reference to Griffin, also found in Milton's Paradise Lost, where he uses it as an analogy for Satan. So Griffin, also Satan in a way. And we also find out that in Egyptian mythology, it's called the Teshtesh, which means terror, T-E-A-R-E-R, which is also a term used to denote another god called Osiris. Remember, we kept talking about the Osiris resurrection stuff. And Bill Cooper's Mystery Babylon details an Egyptian ritual, which would later be used supposedly in Freemasonry as a ritual that incorporates many elements from Under the Silver Lake. A blindfolded initiate led into a cave, taken through a variety of tests, including a room full of snakes, kind of like Indiana Jones, two big pillars that had a griffin standing between as a guardian. Right? And the pillars would symbolize east and west. The griffin would symbolize the sun. Again, tying into the Osiris, right? It's the death and resurrecting sun god. And here he receives a password in the ritual of H-E-V-E. I don't know how to pronounce that. Heavy, heavy. Either way, it means serpent. And at this point, the initiate is given the story about the fall of man. And he is to stand there with his arms crossed while this happens. And this is the third degree symbolism that contains the Osiris resurrection symbolism, because the crossing of the arms and the X is symbolic of Osiris. All right. Also, off topic, but the LDS, they do the rituals and the ceremony when they get married, I guess. You can see them on YouTube. Someone did an undercover camera, and they do this whole story about the fall of man. Again, this idea of like Lucifer and the serpent and all this crazy stuff. So Sam gets into this little hut. And what's going on inside the hut? Is it the Pizza Hut? No. It's some old dude and three chicks. One of them is Sarah, and they're all dressed in all white. And the man appears to be very much like a guru. Sam points the piece at them and demands to know what's going on with this hidden code in the music and the bomb shelters and all this crazy stuff going on. And this is going to be a longer clip if you're able to watch it. I'm going to play it now. It's pretty long, but it's all worth listening to. Take a listen.
Hello? Can I help you?
Yeah. My friend Sarah was killed. These three girls know something about it.
Why do you assume that?
I don't assume it. I saw her taking things from Sarah's apartment, and I found a hidden code in their friend's music, and I've been in the tunnels.
All right. Please sit down. Have some tea.
I found a shelter down there. Some kind of bunker in case of a nuclear war.
It's not a shelter.
So what is it?
A tomb.
Was it ours?
They're tombs for kings, like me, and Jefferson Sevens.
Why would Jefferson Sevens need a tomb underneath the city? Cemetery not good enough for him?
It's not about burial. It's about ascension. We're not dying, being transported to another world, somewhere better than this.
Are you talking about heaven?
No, I'm talking about something exclusive and real. Our souls are going to be pulled from our bodies and carried through this unfathomable amniotic sac. We will be beyond this universe, living together like kings without limitation. The Pharaoh said it. Great men throughout history have done the same.
Are you dying?
I'm about to be sealed in a tomb with my beautiful brides and all of my worldly possessions, and we are going to have delicious meals and wine and television and sex. Enough to last 6 months.
And then you die?
No. We wait to be ascended. Only the richest of men can afford this ceremony. It's expensive to build a tunnel system and keep it hidden. But it costs much more to murder people without being harassed about it.
Did you kill Sarah?
No one will find our chambers for 1,000 years. Future men will understand. We were the modern kings. Rulers without statues or effigies.
She was here. Oh, fuck. Is Sarah alive?
She might have ascended already. I don't know.
It's down there, one of those things. One of those tombs. With Jefferson Sevens?
Yes.
They found his body?
They found another man's bones mixed with most of Jefferson's teeth, some of his skin, and all of the organs that he can live without.
That was such an angry thing to do.
What are you upset about?
I just want to see Sarah.
Well, why don't we see if we can get her on the phone?
They have a phone?
Incoming calls only. We've had trouble in the past. People getting scared, trying to get out.
She's trapped down there.
We wouldn't want to lose out on eternal life just because we might have a normal physical aversion to being buried underneath the earth.
We're only human. Hello. How are you?
Okay. Good. Do you mind if I put you on video phone? A friend of yours is here, and he wants to see you.
Great.
Hello?
Sarah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I've been looking for you.
Really? You hardly know me.
Yeah, I know.
Are you annoyed at me or angry?
Oh, do I sound angry? Oh.
Well, no. I just want to know what happened to you.
Oh.
You really want to be down there?
Yeah.
You're gonna die down there. Is that what you want?
I'm gonna take this in the other room. Will you hang it up when I get in there?
Sure.
Their chamber was covered in a mountain of concrete. It can't be opened. There's no reason to upset that girl. Please be kind.
Okay. Do you think I made a mistake? Coming down here?
Maybe.
Well, there's no getting out now, so I may as well make the best of it. Thought about getting a new dog?
No.
Might be good for you.
A little unconditional love.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Well, I better get going. I said I'd make dinner tonight, and I have a million things to do.
Okay. Well, enjoy your dinner.
Take care.
Last night, I had a vision of us making love beneath the earth, and then swimming together, naked, in a dark pool. And that's when it happens. Our bodies dissolve into light, and every beautiful thought we've ever had forms around us and carries our souls through space into another world. And we're all just laughing the whole time because we know that nothing can ever be wrong again. I wish you were coming with us.
Now, he's corrected to say that this is a tomb for kings like me. This guru guy is a king. Jefferson Sevens is a king. He's a billionaire, right? These are the elites. They think they're literally gods. Why does Sevens need a tomb? It's not about burial. It's about ascension. They think they are gods heading into a new, better world. And he proceeds to talk about Gnostic philosophy, breaking free from this prison planet. Right? Because our God, the Abrahamic God of Christianity and so on, to them is Satan. So they need to break free from this prison planet to become gods in this better world. He calls it something exclusive and real in the clip, all right? And the souls will go beyond this universe just like the pharaohs did. Again, it is literally the Osiris resurrection ritual. And he's like, look, I'm going to be sealed in this tomb with these three women for 6 months, and we'll all ascend. No one's going to die. We're going to ascend. And it's a very expensive ceremony, and that's why they build all these hidden tunnel systems. And he says something interesting here. He says it costs more to murder people without being harassed about it. Why would they say that? Is it because they're taking part of actual murders? I would believe so. I think just like the Epstein Files reads, you see that they have no qualms with getting rid of bodies and all this crazy stuff. And it all goes down to energy and human sacrifice. Which you don't see a ton of that in the movie, but like that's part of the subtext here. So the guru hands over a photo of Sarah with this Sevens guy, proving that Sarah's in this tomb with Sevens and they're waiting to ascend. And we find out that they faked Jefferson Sevens' death by pulling his teeth. Kind of makes you think of turning teeth. Also ties into the dentist, Epstein, and so on. Now, recall Sarah's room. She was obsessed with the film How to Marry a Millionaire, and now she is one of the three Barbie dolls in there with the millionaire. And take note that it's always one male guru and three young women. Sarah is with Sevens. You know, you got this new guru guy, plus the Jesus and the Dracula bride band is one dude with three chicks. Now, it's interesting because I looked this up. Egyptian pharaohs were buried with three female consorts as well, some of them. So I'd like, okay, that tracks. Now, Sam's getting angry, and the guru's like, hey, you know, let's just give him a call. You don't believe me? Because in these bunkers, they have incoming calls only phones. So they call. They put her on a video phone for Sam to watch. And sure enough, there she is. She's in this shelter, this tomb with Jefferson Sevens. They're watching Leave It to Beaver. And she's kind of like, hey, you don't even know me. Why are you tripping, Sam? He's like, well, do you really want to be down there? And she's like, yeah. And the guru says that the chamber is covered in concrete. And even if you wanted to get her out, even if you want, she changed her mind, she can't. They're done. So don't upset this girl. It's already a done deal. They're going to die down there. Or ascend down there, excuse me. And she asks Sam, she's like, do you think I made a mistake? And he's like, maybe. She says, well, there's no way out. I can't get out now, so I might as well make the best of this. And at this point, he looks up at the Hollywood sign, because you can see the Hollywood sign from this tiki hut here. And he says, same here. Kind of like Hollywood. This is why they take the Faustian bargain and devolve it into the degeneracy. They've kind of gone too far to turn around now. She tells him he should think about getting a new dog for unconditional love. Again with the dogs. And she's like, well, I got to go make dinner. And they hang up. Interesting that Sam would look at the Hollywood sign, though, right? The holly tree, you know, the Hollywood based off the idea of the wand made from the holly tree. It's a magical wand, a magical wood. So Sam, he's in a bit of shock now. And one of the women in the guru's little Pizza Hut here, she's talking about how she had a dream about their bodies turning into light and going through space to the other world. Again, this is Gnosticism. This is the flavor called Manichaeism. They believe that they can liberate from this prison planet and return their light to the real heavens in the Pleroma. And they discuss this as light, right? Kind of like Kabbalists do, which Epstein and Bannon, that's how he talks too, because they're into all this stuff as well. Because otherwise they get recycled down here in this prison planet, this hell forever. And she invites Sam to go with them into the tomb ceremony. The guru starts talking about how, look, everything in this world's a waste of time. It's useless. Very Gnostic, nihilistic stuff. And at this point, everybody collapses. The guru, the women, they all lay down to collapse. Sam had drank the tea that he was offering. He collapses. Everyone's getting dosed all the time. It's like Bill Cosby land out here. So he passes out. But before he passes out, he sees the Hobo King pop up from the ground. Next thing you know, he wakes up. He's chained to a chair, and the Hobo King tells Sam, look, the women and the guru, they're in the ascension chamber. And the king tells Sam, he's like, look, I went through your pockets while you were passed out. There was dog biscuits in your pocket. Why you got dog bones on you? And Sam's like, well, I was interested in this girl that had a dog. I believe referring to Sarah and her puppy. But the Hobo King, he's grilling him, right? Because I think he's assuming that he's the dog killer. So Sam says, look, I was waiting for the girl to take me back, and I was going to do it by giving her dog a biscuit. I don't know. My point is, I think that the homeless king seems to think that Sam's a dog killer, right? It's very interesting when you look at it through that aspect. Now, the king The Hobo King unlocks these chains. He believes Sam enough, I guess. He unlocks the chains from Sam, tells him, like, you can go. I'm not sure what's going to happen to you. I'm not sure if they are going to kill you or not. But either way, keep your mouth shut about what you saw today. Take the vow of silence, right? Again, a Freemasonic initiation of Sam. He had the blindfold on. Now it's the vow of silence. It's kind of like Eyes Wide Shut, right? Like, the whole time you're wondering, like, are they trying to initiate Tom Cruise? What's going on here? Are they trying to illuminate, confirm my man, my second greatest actor of all time? So Sam walks up these stairs, because he's underground, of course, and out of the tunnel into the Hollywood Hills, walks home, sees his ex-girlfriend's billboard being pasted over with Ronald McDonald, goes past the coffee shop again, gets into his apartment, unpacks some orange juice and saltines that Sarah was earlier raving about this. And he's watching the Seventh Heaven movie that his mom mailed to him. And what's interesting here is that we see a clip where the actress says, never look down, always look up. Right? As above, so below. Again, the idea of the ascension from an underground. I mean, they tell you right there. And he hears that the naked woman with the parrot across the way there. And, you know, he always wondered what this thing was saying. What's this bird saying? So he goes over to the woman's house, pipes her down. I mean, this guy's like got magical skills, apparently, and asks her what the parrot's saying. And she's like, I don't know what he's saying. So Sam, now he's interested. He's curious. You know, oh my God, it's another code. Time to find another code to decode. So he smokes a Morley's on the porch. And now he's looking back at his own apartment, apartment 23. And the landlord and the cops kick in the door and they are there to evict him, but he's already with the bird lady. The credits roll. Here's some great REM. Kind of funny. Another frame of code on the credits. All right. So in conclusion, big old conclusion here. So get ready, strap in. You know, there's a lot to love about the film. Very noir, very LA, very symbolic, illuminate, confirmed conspiracy. I see everybody wanted me to watch it, but of course it's too long. Oh my goodness. Why was it so long? You know, painfully long. Still good though. I liked it. Lots to think about. Some quick thoughts about what we saw here though. We saw, and I'm going to dive deep into my final theory here at the end. I'm going to kind of address various things because, you know, it's very complex, very multifaceted. We saw some synchronicities, some synchromysticism, right? The whole idea of Carl Jung where things guide one, an initiate in their journey, right? Just like Sam being guided through his journey with Seventh Heaven and Jefferson Sevens and Janet Gaynor's headstone and all that. Because the whole movie is about the symbolic, the subconscious. It's looking beneath the surface. It's under the Silver Lake. It's even on the movie poster, right? If you look at the movie poster, it shows stuff happening below the surface of the water. It's about exploring hidden systems, you know, hidden in plain sight. It's the iceberg theory stuff. All right. And it's about the Jungian dive into the subconscious. So was he delving into the subconscious reaches of his mind in the whole movie? Like, not to keep talking about Twin Peaks, but like, and I don't want to give anything away, but if you followed my Twin Peaks Grey Lodge series, you'll know I have a great theory on the third season. So was he suffering confirmation bias, apophenia, finding patterns where none exist? It seemed like it was real, though, because he followed all these elaborate clues, but ultimately did find elites hidden in bunkers. So all these clues that seemed like an unhinged mental person would come up with out of nowhere, it seemed to really manifest into something real happening. All right, so it was real. This wasn't an illusion. This wasn't a dream. Seems like it was real. Also, the bird at the naked woman's apartment remind me of Waldorf from Twin Peaks. Because Twin Peaks also very much about the subconscious elements. You know, David Lynch with his transcendental meditation is about getting into the unified field. All right. And I didn't look it up, but I have zero doubts the director was influenced by Twin Peaks. Zero doubts. I'd put money on it, right? We're looking at two different worlds, one above, one below. And to bring it into the modern day Epstein files, that's how the Epstein files are coded. There's this world that we all know of, us normies, just
Gotta fill up my gas tank. The gas is pretty high today. Thanks, Obama. We got that going on. Then we got the pedophilic elites who don't know what groceries are and they're eating kids. How are we existing in the same reality? There's two different realities happening at the same time. Ours is manufactured. It is the slop given to us. And the sad thing is most people aren't paying any attention to any of this stuff. Same with the files. Like, it's pure revelation of the method, because they believe in what they call the Carnelian law. And it's this idea that, look, if they tell us they're doing it, there's no karmic retribution. Like, we allow them to do this stuff. There's no obligation if they tell you. Like, if you tell someone, I'm going to kick you in the nuts, and they go, okay, you can kick them in the nuts. I don't recommend you do that, but that's like the principle of it. So the rundown of the whole movie, right? They show us various themes that suggest maybe he's a little delusional. You know, they see the squirrel at the beginning. You're like, I don't know. I think he's losing his mind, right? He sees women barking at him and stuff, and they disappear. Thinks Vanna White has got these hidden symbols. So part of the movie could be like, is this guy crazy? Or is he having delusions? You know, we kept thinking he was going to be evicted. I mean, I guess he does at the end, right? But the whole thing is like, is this a real realm or not? And he also has these weird anger issues. We hear his first dog died. How did his dog die? Who's the dog killer? Is it him? Why is he beating up children for keying his car? I mean, I would do that, but I wouldn't do that. I'd want to do that, though. He's literally bashing in the songwriter's head with a guitar. I mean, to be fair, a little self-defense. But he goes on about hating homeless people because they're jealous of society, like Patrick Bateman. We also talked a lot about the golden age of Hollywood with Seventh Heaven, Janet Gaynor references, Morley's, going back to Hitchcock, old Playboys, How to Marry a Millionaire, Mark Sennett, and all this stuff. And this refers all back to how all of this started. It's Hollywood is a structure to encode hidden messages. And they do it through pop culture. That's why there's pop culture throughout the whole movie, right? This guy is soaked in it. That's why when I see some of these young guys who... Look, I love pop culture crap as much as the next guy. I really do. Love movies. I like action figures. Like, I'm a nerd through and through. But sometimes I see these young guys and they drive these cars and they're loaded down with like Harry Potter stickers and action figures glued to the dashboard. And I'm like, you're in so deep, man. My judgment comes out. And I think it's because that makes you susceptible to manipulation when you're that in that deep. Right? If your world is consumed with going to Disney World or whatever, you know, it's like there's real things going on. You can go travel to real places or whatever, right? I live in Utah, which is the home of the Disney adult. Okay. Sorry. I just think it's odd. And I when I see that, I think these are people trying to dissociate from reality, and it gives them something to enjoy. And I love that for them. I really do. I also worry for them. I worry that they are susceptible to the ultimate form of manipulation, propaganda, and so on, right? And we know that Sam also was this, and he loved Kurt Cobain, and the next thing you know, the songwriter's like, bro, I wrote that song. There's no rebellion. It's only me cashing checks and sending along messages for these elites. Then you have the dogs, right? It could be the owl goddess eating the dogs. Who knows, right? There's owls all over the place and dogs. I'm going to give you a better theory on the dog in a minute here, but I want to kind of throw some rough ideas out. I like the theory that my person on Patreon had about the dogs could just be the people getting abducted, right? They have a lot of human names like Harry and so on. And the girls are literally barking like dogs, like could be abducting women. Like, and we saw all the zines that talked about human trafficking, right? The elites are human trafficking. We know this. Could be a reference to Trump, right? The Epstein file said Trump was the dog that didn't bark. And you recall he had the party at Mar-a-Lago where the people dressed up like dogs. And when we were talking about like the Hunger Games element of that. Now, to play devil's advocate here, it was apparently like a dog fundraising event for, I don't know, ASPCA or something. But it's true. Like, the people were dancing like dogs. And recall in The Shining, you had the dog or the bear man giving Hummer for the summer to the elites. Okay. These dogs are to be used by the elites. That's how they view us. Now, if you get into the occult themes, which is more my forte and what I find interesting in here, in this film, the dog in Egyptian mythology is the Anubis. And what does the Anubis do? The Anubis guides souls into the afterlife. Can you believe it? We'll come back to that in about a second here. Another thing in the movie, you don't see anybody's name. What's his best friend's name? Topher Grace. What's the zine author's name? He's the author. He literally writes these books. Who's the balloon girl? Who's Sydney Sweeney? Who's the homeless king? Why don't we get anyone's names? Could be part of Sam's delusion, his dream world. Or in a magical context, there's power in a name. So if you don't know the real name, you can't energetically attack someone. One name we do hear is Jefferson Sevens, because these elites are part of this system, right? Sevens being the number of perfection to become a god, which is what Sevens thinks he is doing. Jefferson Sevens is trying to get to his seventh heaven, like the film, okay? Lots of little fun name games you can play here. And they set up all these fake deaths, like Sevens was found burned up in the car with the three girls, and we find all four of them are alive in the bunker. And you got these rich guru dudes. And guess who else faked his own death? Epstein. Don't at me. I don't care. He faked his own death. He's still alive and well in that country. We know he is. It's true. Even the New York Post, who's sus, they even posted this article the other day about how, well, it turns out the body that they took out front, that people were taking the photos of, the body bag, it was just boxes because they had to get Jeffrey out the back door. Oh, why? Why was someone gonna attack him? I mean, it's such BS. This whole thing. I mean, I'm fairly black-pilled at this point. Nothing's real. None of these people are gonna pay a price. He's still alive. He's not dead. Everything's rigged. We also see how the zine author supposedly did himself in, which we later find out that's not what happened either, right?
Kind of sounds like Epstein.
And the owls kiss the zine that talks about the cult of elites, worshiping goddesses. They have connections to trade and finance. What do you think Epstein's operation was entirely based around? Trades and finances. That's how he would get you in. And the owl lady, of course, being the goddess of Bohemian Grove, where the elites gather of trade and finance to worship Minerva and do their cremation of care ceremony, where they burn an effigy of a child. Wink, wink, I guess, these freaking weirdos. And the songwriter, he says, look, I'm behind all the hits. The industry forces singers to sing these songs with these hidden messages. That's the big theme. That's one of the main takeaways. These artists are forced to sing these things. That's what we heard Jesus when he was trying to take a dump and gets beat up. Like, I don't know, they made me sing this, right? You hear this by so many celebrities. Forced to do things. Kesha said this. Right? With that song, Die Young, that happened to be released right around the time of the, you know, the Andy Say okay thing. She had a song called Die Young, and then they took it off the radio. It was a big hit, and they took it off the radio because of that thing that happened. And then she came out later and says, they forced me to sing that song. Excuse me? Right? Now, let's get deep cut on these elite conspiracies, right? We keep talking to the sex and sex trafficking, human trafficking keeps coming up. Sydney Sweeney being subjected to this as an actress working for the escort service, right? Because she's an actress in the film, but she also works for the escort service like her friend. And we know that Epstein ran that blackmail ring where the most wholesome thing that could have possibly happened out of that is just good old-fashioned sex trafficking, but we all know it goes much darker than that. Sam has a dream where he sees a man eating another man's innards. That's the beef jerky. That's the grape soda. You know, billionaires, they just like to talk about beef jerky and grape soda. What's wrong with that? It's just normal stuff. Oh, by the way, I'm going to release the alien files. Oh, by the way, the Dow's are 50,000. What are we even talking about anymore? You know? So the owl goddess... guess what she does? She wears the skin of the face. It's the frizzle, frazzle, dazzle, which is something I've dismissed in the past. I thought, I don't know. I know the theory. it sounds a little out there. Sounds like someone watched a little too much Texas Chainsaw Massacre and read a little too much about Ed Gein. Now I'm like, oh, they're doing that. That's what they're doing. It's what they're doing. They're degenerates. And they don't belong here anymore, right? These people are evil. They're walking evil. If all that's true. I mean, maybe it's not true. I don't know. I'm going to mess around and get my third channel removed. We even saw the wall of faces at the Zine author's house, right? That I talked about Westworld and Game of Thrones, also in Epstein's dentist room. The dentist room open for speculation. His girlfriend, supposedly he paid for her to go to dental school. Why? Some people claim it's, well, he had this dentist room because they were getting laughing gas to have a good time with. Or it could be removing people's teeth. So that if you can't really identify the what's left, right? Removing teeth to make it harder to identify. And he was buying 55-gallon drums of sulfuric acid. Oh, that's for his infrastructure for the pools. And no, it wasn't. And what's really odd is the name of the satanic encoded track on the movie, Turning Teeth. Right? Turning Teeth, I believe, is referring to dental work. I think all this is secret coded. Everything in this film has layers, like how things will set him on the path. The real truth is kind of beneath the surface, though, right? Just like the film tells you. Another example, he goes to look at the zines and he's focused on the dog killer, but you can see the sex and drug trafficking thing, right? The dog killing is on the surface of what's going on. Oh my God, someone's killing dogs. Below, no, they're doing worse stuff than that. Remember the fireworks triggering Sarah, the signal for her to join the elites in the bunker. All of this is coded and sent through the channels of information of the elites. Sarah's apartment has the Ouroboros symbol, which, you know, we know the elite's plan is to be reincarnated in the new world as a new god. Then we saw the 751 on the football scoreboard. I don't know what to think of that. 7 is divine completion. 5 is the pentagram with the 5 elements of nature and the unity of the source as God. So it could be going from one realm to another. I don't know. Then there's like backmasking in the storyline. An old school theory, if you ever heard of John Todd, he used to talk about this, about record labels recording a master record with satanic rituals encoded in it, right? Secret messages in the music, just like the Turning Teeth song, which is a code that he actually uses, and it takes him to the observatory where he finds the Hobo King, and that's how he unlocks the mystery. So let's talk about Turning Teeth, a little deep dive on the song, if you will. I'm going to read you the lyrics. You all alone, you and I, two of us, you and I, isn't that a Twin Peaks song, by the way? Turning like teeth, sigh, oh dear, Siamese kitty cat, forever linked from tusk to tail in tails of dust, you and I. I interpret this to be like two becoming one, like Siamese twins. Tunneling beneath the skin of the city we live within. This is levels, right? This is as above, so below. Tunnels beneath the city. Things happening underground in the subconscious. Pennies dropped in pickle jars for an audience with the sky. Oh, that's us, the taunt lipstick on teeth left behind the night on a dead carrier of dreams. Black hair, blonde remorse. Exploring where the cameras cannot see you and I, beneath the surface where the lovers cannot breathe. You and I, we were dancing to a song you had never heard. Swing our arms wide, remember? Let our blunders be trust funders. Trust funders, like the elites, okay. You and I, turning like teeth. When do I remember how the story ended? Exploring where the cameras cannot see. Beneath the surface where the lovers cannot breathe. All right. And what happens is the guru and his women are underground and they die in the bunker where they cannot breathe, I guess. Now, I thought we should play this backwards because that's what this movie would want us to do. Well, someone already did it. Someone already posted a YouTube Tyler Dunnan channel. And you can hear stuff in it. You can hear, please help us, repeated around the 1 minute mark. Some of the commenters point out you can hear the word Lucifer around 2:46, and around 3:05, you can hear Under Your Spell. Kind of strange. the crypt club where she takes Sam underground, where he pukes, right? Remember the wall had a code on it. The code's important. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Sam tells his buddy Topher there that he's been getting these secret messages since he was a child, right? And Topher's like, hey, we're programmed into thinking there's cheat codes in life from like just like video games. And to me, I interpret this as saying like this is saying that we live in a simulation realm, which is the elite Gnosticism theory. And that's why they think they have to break free. I think it was Elon Musk and some billionaires. They were literally putting money into, I don't think it was Elon. It was a bunch of billionaires are putting money into how to crack the code of the simulation realm because they believe this stuff. They don't believe God created us to enjoy in his beautiful world. They believe that our God is a false God. He is the demiurge. And they need to crack the code to break free from his prison planet, his simulation. Now, the hero's journey also is the path of the initiate, which is Sam. Stage one was his departure. The call to adventure, right? We know Sam's always been looking for hidden meaning, right? Remember the girl in Lederhosen finds his scribbled notes? So there's always been a call to adventure in a way for him. But then we get the meeting of the mentor. He becomes intrigued with the dog killer zine, right? And this leads him to go find the author who mentors him to look for hidden clues and everything, like the cereal box, which really leads him down the path to finding the truth. Then we get crossing the first threshold. He's looking for these hidden clues in Turning Teeth, goes to Griffith Park, and boom, Hobo King, the Hermit. The Hermit puts him into the initiation, which is stage two, which starts with approach to the inmost cave. This is where the initiate starts with a blindfold, goes into the cave of mysteries with the key. And what did you see Sam do? Put on the blindfold. The Hobo King takes him into the mystery of the cave of mysteries. Then we get the meeting with a goddess. That's Sevence's daughter. She gives him the bracelet clue. Again, another clue that takes him on his journey. And then she gets taken out, just like the Playboy magazine, again, tying into his history and his past, right? And then at this point is where he unlocks the code to get into the Ascension Tombs and he learns the truth. Then you get stage three, crossing of the return threshold. He returns to the real world and he's warned by the Hobo King. He's like, you bet, vow silence, keep your mouth shut about all this stuff that you found out when you return to the real world. And he returns as the master of two worlds, right? Pipes down Bird Lady. Then he gets the freedom to actually live. Now he laughs. He sees through the code. He's Neo in the Matrix. He sees the authorities breaking into a victim. But he's like, I don't even care anymore. None of this matters. Thus, the whole movie is about Sam tapping into the hidden messages from the elites that they're sending to each other in regards to their ascension chambers and this complex of underground tunnels and so on. Now, my final theory. This is the big daddy here. It's all about elites becoming gods through the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the opening of the mouth rituals, okay? Who's the dog killer? What relevance does he have? My guess has something to do with Sirius, a.k.a. the dog star, all right? And we hear during the fireworks scene, Sam's like, oh, it's really late in the summer for fireworks, meaning it's post-July 4th. Arguably, the dog days of summer, which run from late July to early August, which would be an ideal time for an ascension chamber, all right? Robert Bouval had a thing called the Orion Correlation Theory about the Giza Pyramid, which theorized to be ascension chambers found within the three great pyramids. And they're built to mirror the three stars of Orion's belt, a.k.a. Osiris, right? And who's the consort to Osiris? It's Isis, a.k.a. Sirius. And the shafts in the Great Pyramid, they will point upwards for the ascension towards Orion and Sirius, the opposing polarities of God and goddess. Because the point was the pharaoh would become ascended from there and be reborn into the new pharaoh. We talked about this with the Freemasonic resurrection of Osiris ceremonies. I believe it was I did a few episodes exposing QAnon as BS years ago. Still waiting for my apologies from everybody on, everybody got mad at me. So the Freemasonic resurrections of the Osiris ceremonies at the House of the Temple in D.C. is where the politicians and or the Freemasons attempt to fuse this reincarnated Pharaoh spirit of Osiris into the new president as they take their oath. Tom Horn, I believe, is the guy. I got the book over there. I can't read. Apollyon Rising 2012, I think is where I got that from. Tom Horn. Now, Sirius, of course, is called the Dog Star, the brightest star in the Canis Major constellation. And Anubis was the dog-headed entity that guided souls to the afterlife. Similar to Hecate's dogs, she was the Greek goddess of magic and witchcraft. She had black dogs. Ties into Led Zeppelin, right? So they kind of tell you these clues of, like, look to pop culture because it's all encoded messaging, which is exactly what I do. So I can see why people are like, you got to watch this. It's right up your alley. It is. It is. So we see these three pyramids with three goddesses and the guru god, and under the silver lake. We saw the griffin, which is the play on the sphinx, right? We talked about the sphinx being goat with the bobs of these opposing polarities of earth and sky, right? Not the sphinx, excuse me, the griffin. I'm getting my symbolism mixed up. The sphinx utilizes a lion with the head of a pharaoh, okay? Now, that griffin is a representation of Osiris, according to the Egyptian ritual we discussed by Bill Cooper. Now, if we go to a book, by Peter Levenda, Stairway to Heaven, he goes deep into alchemy, Kabbalah, and how all this goes back to the first scripture document ever in recorded history. It's called the Pyramid Text from Egypt. And all of the occult groups discuss these ideas of ascension rituals meant for the elite, meant for the gods, not meant for you and I, meant for them. And he refers to it as the stairway of stairway to heaven. I discussed this in my 2017 book, The Dark Path. And he points out that the ascent literature of the Merkava texts of Jewish mysticism would go on to influence Gnosticism, Mithraism, Manichaeism, a little bit on Christianity too. But the ancient Egyptians, they would practice this opening of the mouth ritual as a rebirth ritual, right? He says it's like when a baby is born, you've got to clear the eyes and clear the mouth so that it can breathe. It's the opening of the mouth so it can breathe new life, right? And he goes into the concepts of the Big Dipper being the seven stars that were the ladder to the heavens, aka the stairway. And it also connects into an instrument in the ritual called the Thigh of Set or Thigh of the Bull, which is a reference to the phallus, which is also called the Talisman of Set. Because sex magic and Osiris's phallus is a lot of what this is all about, right? Remember, Osiris gets torn apart by Set into multiple pieces, and Isis, aka Sirius, goes around trying to find the body parts. She finds all of them except for the phallus. So she gets a golden obelisk and puts it on there, and Thoth magically turns it into real, brown snake turned to brown stick, right? And that's how she magically incarnates Horus. It's about sex magic. So a dead pharaoh would have this opening of the mouth ritual done to his dead body. Before the pharaoh would die, they would teach him the system of passwords so that he could ascend through various gateways, right? Because like in the movie, Sam is given various secret codes and passwords that he has to know to get into the next secret location, all right? And again, Hollywood ground zero for all of this. Of course, the Holly Wand of Magic. But the pharaoh would go through these secret passages, secret passwords, so that in the afterlife he could ascend and then be reincarnated into the new pharaoh, the resurrection of Osiris, right? But there's a control system embedding the hidden music or the hidden messages in music and films and so on, because we are a part of their ritual. So is Sam delusional? A little bit, yes. But the point is that you need to be a little delusional, a little off kilter to see things in this other reality, because the reality that normies live in isn't real. You have to be a little off to see the truth through the social constructs. And entertain that some of these conspiracies can be real. The elites believe they are superior. They are the chosen ones. They will be escaping this Gnostic simulation to become real gods and leave us losers behind. And they utilize goddesses in the rituals, like the Babylon, right? And her sigil, it's the number 77. Janet Gaynor, who's throughout the movie, dies when she was 77. Could it be she was in a car accident? Could it be some ritualistic thing? I don't know. She was in a car accident, apparently, like, had injuries that she succumbed to 2 years later. Kind of sad, right? But we know the number 7 is intimately connected to the opening of the mouth ritual that Lavenda's book describes for the pharaohs or the gods to ascend because the 7 stars of the Big Dipper, which he alludes to being found in various occult groups, in Kabbalah, in alchemy, and all this stuff. So that's why 7s is so important. That's why it's Jefferson's 7s. That's why we're talking about 7th heaven. All this ascension ritual stuff is real stuff. And that's my big theory on it. I mean, there's lots of questions you could still answer, right? Who was really killing the dogs? Was it Sam? The Hobo King implies it could have been him. He had a short fuse, seemed a little crazy. Did the dog symbolize young women being trafficked? What was Sam's job, by the way? How does he afford to live in LA with no job? What role was the owl goddess? I think she's like the Minerva of Bohemian Grove, right? The Sophia wisdom of some kind. And what role does the Hobo King play in all this? It feels like he's the hermit from the tarot. He's the one that facilitates everything for these elites. And what's up with all the codes? You know, you have to go online and look at the group chats and see what they're saying. And at this point, we transition from my nonsense to Reddit nonsense. Okay? There was a post by username Thomi_ERB where they cracked the code on all the ciphers and codes throughout the movie. All right? It goes back to Copiel Code, which is a manuscript from the 18th century found in Berlin. Had 105 pages of encrypted codes, and some famous USC computer scientist named Kevin Knight created a program to decode all of this in 2011, and he is credited on the film. He worked on the cryptography as the cryptography consultant of the movie, right? The Copiel Code is what you see in the bathroom when Sam is puking. You see it on some graffiti. And it translates to coffee menu, right? So you go back to the coffee shop at the beginning in the opening scene, and there's Morse code. And I'm like, how did people find this? There's literally Morse code on the menu. And if you translate the Morse code, it translates into a different cipher. And that cipher gets decoded from a key found in the zine author's house, as well as that contact lens billboard, as what three words? Now, what three words is the name of a geocoding system that encodes GPS coordinates into three words, right? That you'll get, that once you crack that code, you'll get to within 3 square meters of a GPS coordinate on the map, anywhere on the globe, okay? Like a 10-foot square. And the Reddit poster says the logo of the What Three Words app that you use to crack these codes is the same logo found on the Hobo King's code for "this is not a safe place." I am impressed. Then you got the dolls in Sarah's room. Remember, they use the Zodiac Killer cipher, a different one. Also attempted to be deciphered by the same Kevin Knight guy, but he didn't do it. It wasn't actually solved until 2020 after the movie came out, apparently, by a whole different team. So, because I guess they knew most of it, but not all of it. I don't know. So Kevin Knight's failed attempt actually accurately got the names right on the Barbie dolls, Betty, Marilyn, and Lauren, the names of the actresses. So from here, you can derive the 3 GPS coordinates that are encoded. And this goes into a whole spiral of other theories. One theory is that it takes us to a place called Barton Peak, California in Kings Canyon. Right? Again, this ties into the Osiris, Pharaoh, King resurrection stuff. And they speculate that under Owen's Lake, there's a treasure from silver mines. And then there's suspicion of a real ascension chamber that could be there. They also speculate on Bohemian Grove connections and a lot more, right? So there's tons to unpack here. More conspiracies, like what year is it? Again, very Twin Peaks. What year is it? And that, you know, there's debate on what year this actually takes place. Some say it's supposed to be 2011 because they're watching a film in the cemetery called The Myth of the American Sleepover, which dropped in 2011 by the same director of this film. The phone text suggests it was around this time also. You know, apps had been out a little bit, but hasn't taken over our lives. There's also an amazing decode of the movie poster. There's a slew of hidden images in the poster. I had no idea. but once you see them, you're like, oh, crap, they really do. Pretty amazing work, to be honest. And someone took the sounds from the fireworks, translates them to Morse code, and the Morse code spells out ascend now. So you can see we barely scratched the surface on this movie. Now, my favorite conspiracy I found online, Ashton Kutcher. Someone said, Kutcher is all over this film. I began noticing it during the scene where Sam gets his car towed and has to walk up this large hill before they use a drone to watch a girl changing in her room and spying on her. So Sam is walking up this large hill and Topher goes, man, where's your car? It felt so odd for that line to be there. You know, referring to the movie Dude, Where's My Car by Ashton Kutcher, which I actually loved that movie when it came out. I was watching this when Danny Masterson's trial was going on, so I felt primed going in. I also know that Ashton is a middle name, and his real name is Christopher. And then in the library, there was all these Christopher Columbus signs, which, like, you have heard of the allegations surrounding this notorious man who has a good reputation due to most people being ignorant. So that's where I began. Then someone on this forum was talking about what Sam's job was and that old woman and blah, blah, blah. Haunting question for me was, what was his job and what was he waiting for? Money to fall in his hand? He was about to be evicted, which is what I say too, right? That's kind of weird. Then someone told me in the comments to watch the movie Spread. That's a 2009 film. And it was in sync almost perfectly. And it mentioned Smells Like Teen Spirit and Nirvana. And there's that blind item about Ashton Kutcher and how Francis Bean Cobain used to hang out a lot. Then I watched Down to You. This is the Jim Morrison character that Ashton plays, where he's not the major character at all. He plays Jim Morrison. Now look at the t-shirt of the girl in the very beginning, cleaning off the wall that says Beware of the Dog Killer. Her shirt is Jim Morrison. Movie has another Nirvana reference. Does all Ashton movies have Nirvana references? Another Smells Like Teen reference? What the F? I wonder as I continue down the list. I could go on, so I believe I'll understand the movie better when I continue down the list of movies to watch that relate to Under the Silver Lake. Oh my goodness. So you're telling me there's more movies to watch? So that 2009 movie Spread, I've never seen it. I looked it up. It stars Ashton Kutcher and Anne Heche, who, if you recall, had that horrific death, a.k.a. Ms. Murder, from a high-speed car crash. Remember that? And in the video, supposedly, it's her trying to get out of the stretcher, and they got her in the body bag. Oof. And we know remote car crashes can happen, so, I mean, what's Ellen DeGeneres up to? Because she was dating Ellen DeGeneres. She also starred in a Psycho remake, another Hitchcock connection there, right? Then Topher Grace, recall he had beef with Ashton and Danny Masterson as well, right? And they were obviously connected to all kinds of stuff. Diddy, Church of Somethingtology, SA stuff. It's Murder, right? What happened to Ashton's girlfriend? He was infamously connected to a variety of conspiracies. I did a whole episode on him, if you haven't heard. I did a 3-part 70s show conspiracy episode. He's on part 3 entirely. Because I tie him into AI and kids stuff and, I mean, crazy stuff. I'll put a link in the show notes because I know you're going to want more on that. And that's a wrap. That's a wrap for Under the Silver Lake. An exhausting analysis of content. There's so much here. You can start peeling back these layers further and online. I mean, there's people that are geeking out over this movie 10 years later now almost, right? And from what I could tell, I think that my contribution to the theory is this ritualistic Osiris opening of the mouth ceremony stuff and Sirius and the dog star and Osiris and all that. Plus the John Todd connections. I think most of the online folks are probably too young to remember John Todd. And of course, the Epstein files shedding new light on everything. So, you know, maybe the director heard some of this stuff happening in real life. Yeah, maybe he's Illuminati confirmed. I don't know. But as always, if you like the show, be sure to hit the, I got a link in the show notes to check out another show. Be sure to subscribe, whatever you're listening to, the app, podcast, YouTube, how, you know, if you're watching on the YouTube, another resource, if you want to start, if you're new to all this and you're like, bro, you're going on and on, I can't follow you, go to my website. I will send you a free book. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, go to free book up on the menu, and you'll see a link. You can sign up for my free email newsletter. That's the one I own. I pay every month for it. I don't sell it. I don't spam. I send you updates on new shows, appearances, whatever. And I'm going to send you my first book for free as a PDF file. The one I got Joe Rogan to sign. I got Joe Rogan to sign my first book because I mentioned him in there. I wrote it in 2012. And everything's completely on the money all these years later. So lots of places to go if you want more, if you want to go deeper, okay? But that's my Under the Silver Lake, one of the most requested film analysis ever. And boy, am I glad we got through that, because that's a lot. So thank you for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe, okay? Help me get to 100K. I'll shut up. If you're not already on YouTube, please just go there. Take the second it takes to go on there, click it, and subscribe and check me out. Till next time, stay positive.